Hello, everyone. Randy Schuler here, introducing another Lost episode of the Beauty Brain Show. This was recorded back before our server crashed in 2013, so it's a blast from the past, featuring Left Brain and Cerebellum. This week, you'll hear them discuss, will a three-year-old bottle of shampoo still work? Why is there a lack of standard definition for organic and natural products? Why you shouldn't buy cosmetics at a truck stop, and a very far-flung edition of Where in the World is Left Brain?
Hi, welcome to the fifth episode of the Beauty Brains podcast. I'm your host, Cerebellum, and with me, as always, is the eccentric, though interesting, Left Brain. Hi, Left Brain.
Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great.
For any new listeners out there, just to let you know, the Beauty Brains podcast is a show about beauty products, where real cosmetic chemists, such as ourselves, answer your beauty questions and talk about the science of cosmetics. In today's show, we're going to be answering a couple of questions, discussing some beauty science news items, review a product, and of course, finish with a fun quiz. So, Left Brain, how are you doing? I heard you just got back from China.
I did just get back from China. I was there for a cosmetic industry trade show called PCHI out in Shenzhen.
Oh, it sounds exciting.
It was, although I seem to have picked up a little bit of a cold.
Yeah, well, I hope it's not SARS or some weird bird flu.
I hope not either. I in China, I did see people wearing masks.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of people, but there were, you know, a bunch of people who wear face masks, so I guess they're still afraid of getting viruses there, right?
Interesting.
But it's pretty interesting thing about China is that this is the first time I'd ever been there, but it's very much the same as in America. You go to the malls and it's the same kind of stores and even the same kind of beauty products.
Yeah.
And even a lot of the same beauty brands. L'Oreal was out there.
Yeah.
They had a Sephora in the mall.
Right.
I was just kind of surprised that they would all be so similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people, everybody loved the iPhone. I saw so many people on their iPhones. Wow. It's just like being in America, except you can't understand the language.
Wow. It sounds exciting. How was the food?
The food tasted good. I don't know what I ate. I mean, I ate.
Well, maybe that's why you're not feeling so well.
Could be. You know, they don't prepare the food the same. They like, when you get fish, you get like the entire fish.
Yeah. So. They're not as into making presentation a part of the meal,
yeah,
I guess.
Presentation wasn't there. But all the food was good and the people were really nice. Oh, it was good. A great experience.
Well, we're happy to have you back safely, Left Brain.
You know, I did learn in China, which was interesting, they spend $10 per person per year on beauty products.
That's it?
Yeah, $10 per cap. The Chinese beauty market is about $19 billion a year.
And how much is it in the United States?
Well, geez, I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
There is one study that estimates that women in the United States spend about $12,000 a year on beauty products.
Well, that seems a little insulated.
Well, you know, it's not just beauty products, it's all beauty treatments. Actually, I do know this. The American beauty market is about $78 billion.
Wow. And our population, I think, is a little less than China.
300 million, so that's it. So, means there's a lot of room for growth in the Chinese market.
Well, excellent. Excellent. And you have some other exciting news, don't you?
Oh, well, probably the most exciting is that our new book, Can You Get Hooked on Lip Balm, is out in store shelves, and you can get it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and wherever you can get online books, you can get it. It's been pretty exciting. I've been doing some media tours.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other day I did 20-something radio interviews,
right,
which was interesting.
And you're going to be on some pretty big television shows, too.
That's right. On March 9th, I'll be on the Rachel Ray daytime TV show.
Wow, so exciting. Yeah. The rest of us are just working here in the office, and Left Brain's out going to TV shows.
Well, you know, all this traveling can be exhausting.
I guess.
But we also got, there's a couple other shows coming up. I don't know if I can mention them since we haven't taped yet, but
okay.
Have at least 4 more TV gigs.
Wow.
For the Beauty Brain. So.
Well, get excited, listeners. It's very fun times here at the Beauty Brains.
It is fun times. And speaking of fun times, do we have any questions for today?
We do have some questions. The first question actually comes from our forum, which we encourage all of our Beauty Brainers to leave questions and comments on.
We call them Beauty Brainiacs.
Oh, sorry. Beauty Brainiacs, please go to the forum.
You know, maybe we should have a better name for them. Maybe the audience can just write in and tell us, what should we call the audience?
I like Beauty Brainiacs, but maybe some people have a better idea. So let's move on to some beauty questions. The first question comes from Gilda. Gilda is guilty of using old products. She says, I have a Matrix Sleek Look shampoo and conditioner I bought 3 years ago. Can I use it? Is it still effective? And this is a good question, Gilda. I think that there's some confusion out there on how long beauty products last and, you know, how safe are they to use after a certain amount of time. So we're hoping to clear that up a little bit for you.
Sarah, do you have any beauty products that have been in your cabinets for a long time?
Probably.
It's pretty.
We get a lot of products here at the Beauty Brains, and I feel like shampoos and conditioners last a pretty long time, but there are a few really easy ways to check to see if you should dispose of your product.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty common thing that people have, that you get a beauty product, you use it for a little while, and then you put it in your cabinet.
Exactly.
For some reason, people just don't want to throw stuff away.
I know. It's true.
It's not finished.
It's true.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
But you're right. It really depends on the beauty product
about
how long it'll last.
Right.
Although I should say up front, unless your product gets contaminated, that means like it gets bacteria growing in it, which is bad.
Right.
The preservative system has broken down. You could probably continue to use a beauty product for a pretty long time.
Right.
Now, the downside to that is you're not going to have the same experience.
Right.
The older the product is, the worse it'll feel or the worse it'll smell.
Yeah. Smell is probably a key indicator, I would say. I mean, but if you haven't used a product for a while, I would say the first thing to do is smell it. Now, fragrance is just going to naturally sort of diminish over time, and that's fine. It doesn't necessarily mean anything's wrong with the product. It just might mean, you know, it's not going to smell as good when you use it in your shower or whatever.
So if you had a banana smelling one, it might smell like pine cones or something.
or just less banana-y.
Or just smell like ass. Oh, sorry, we don't say that on the podcast.
Jeez, Lefrain has not gotten a lot of sleep since he's gotten back from China, I think, so he's a little off.
It is true.
But if you notice an odor like mold or just a really unpleasant odor, I'd be concerned. I would probably be safe and toss that product. And of course, there's the visual test. Does the product look, did it used to be clear or now it's cloudy? That's probably a bad sign.
Yeah, if something was clear and it's cloudy, you probably don't want to use it because that's a pretty good indication that it's been microbial contamination.
Right. And also the viscosity, if it's changed. I remember I had a product.
Viscosity, you mean like the thickness.
Right. The thickness of the product. I had a body wash once where I poured it in my hand and it was like water and it used to be really thick. So if you see a big change in the thickness, if a product used to be thin and got really thick, used to be thick and got really thin. Again,
That one you should throw away.
Right. I would err on the side of tossing that product.
The other thing, if you look at it and it separates, so it's cloudy at the bottom and clear at the top, or there's a separate layer and there wasn't when you first got it, that's probably a good indication that it's has been expired and you should get rid of it.
Right. So the visual and the visual cues, pretty obvious, as well as smelling it. If you're still unsure, you can look at the bottom of the product. And most products don't have expiration dates, so you're not going to be able to just look at it like you do with food and see, oh, I should toss it.
Although in Europe, there's some new regulations where manufacturers are being required to put the use-by dates or expiration dates on it.
So that could be helpful. But if you're really concerned about a product, when manufacturers produce a product, they have a code on the bottom of the bottle, and it's usually a lot number, so the manufacturer can sort of track this product if there's any issues with it. So you can always call the manufacturer, give them the code on the bottom of your bottle, and they will be able to tell you when it was produced and if you should throw it away.
Of course, manufacturers are going to be real conservative, and if something's over a year old, they're going to tell you to just throw it away.
Exactly, exactly. It's sort of like food, you know. They err on the side of being super safe, and they're going to want you. They want you to go out and buy another product. So, but it is. It's you know. It helps you gauge somewhat how old the product is, but you know, sort of just use your common sense. And also make sure that you store the product properly. Don't keep it somewhere really hot, really cold. Don't put a bottle of your shampoo in your trunk in the summer and think it's going to last for a long time. It's not. It's going to break down a lot quicker than it would if it was stored appropriately.
Right. It'd be nice if somebody could make a refrigerator just for your beauty products, because the best way to store them is under cold conditions, and cold and dark conditions are the best, because cold prevents any sort of microbial growth, and if you block the light, that prevents any sort of UV degradation of the formula.
Right, and also helps keep your fragrance a lot fresher longer. Though you don't want it to be too cold, because if it's too cold and a product freezes, it could break your emulsion.
So, exactly, you don't want it to freeze either.
Right, so a nice light refrigeration would be perfect. So if anybody wants has an idea for a beauty product refrigerator in your bathroom, it could be onto something.
And then the final thing, if it's a formula that has like a special ingredient, like it's supposed to be an anti-aging product with retinol or even vitamin C or hyaluronic acid or some special ingredient, those tend not to last nearly as long. So those will break down quicker, and so if you have something like that and it's been around for a long time, it's probably not going to be effective in the way that it originally was.
And I would say the same with self-tanners and sunscreens. DHA tends to break down faster, as well as the sunscreen. Sunscreen ingredients can be less effective. So
yeah, sunscreen especially. And with, you know, if you do have a product that has separated, you can shake it up and, you know.
Left brain, he doesn't like to throw things away.
I don't recommend it. You know, the truth is, if you've had something for over a year, you should just get rid of it and buy something new, especially if it's a product that you can get at your local Target or Walmart or
right.
Walgreens.
Right. And I would say the same with cosmetics, especially like a lip gloss or a mascara, which can get easily contaminated. Obviously, you're putting something on your lips, you're putting something close to your eye. I would err on the side of caution, particularly with those type of products as well.
And you shouldn't share cosmetics.
Yes, especially lipstick. That's just gross. But and if you do go to places like, you know, department stores will have, you know, testers out in the open, I'd be cautious.
Yeah, and the reason we say that is because if you have cosmetics, are, you know, they're preserved, of course, but when you have your own makeup, you're just, you know, your own bacteria is going to get in your makeup, and it's if it's properly preserved, it shouldn't be a problem. But if you transfer, if somebody else gets your makeup, you transfer your own bacteria onto their face, and it's just not a good idea to
treat
makeup.
And if you do test products in the drugstore or department store to see what the color looks like, just test it on the back of your hand. I wouldn't be putting it on your face. And then, of course, wash your hands thoroughly afterwards, because who knows what people are sticking in that cosmetics at the store.
So true.
So, you know, be careful. Use some common sense, and you shouldn't have any issues.
All right. What's our next question?
Our next question is a little more open-ended. We actually got this off of our forum, so thank you to all of those who post on our forum and ask questions and comments. We'd love to hear from you. And this question is essentially, what are organic products? And it's a little more open-ended, but it's a question we get a lot here at the Beauty Brains, because I'm sure, as you've noticed, out in the marketplace, a lot more products in the beauty care industry are being labeled as organic or natural or contains organic ingredients. And so, you know, what does this mean to the beauty industry?
Actually, you know, interestingly enough, the beauty industry, about 10% of the beauty industry now is organic/natural products.
Really? Yeah. And I'm sure is continuing to grow. So.
Yeah, it's a pretty big segment, and so you can understand big companies are now looking at it and launching products that are natural or organic,
right.
or green,
right.
This is a big buzzword in the cosmetic industry.
Yes, yes. So if you look at the word organic, you know, Left Brain and I, we're chemists. So to us, organic chemistry really means carbon-based chemistry, right?
Right. When you take it in college, organic chemistry is anything that has carbon and hydrogen in it is an organic molecule.
Right. So that's the very sciencey, the very sciencey definition of organic.
Yes, but we're not science snobs, or
right,
at least you're
right.
not.
And then, of course, if you look in the food industry, right, there's organic foods all over now, you know, organic produce, and it's become a huge, huge sector in the food category. And the FDA does sort of regulate the definition of organics in food. It does mean that there's either no...
Actually, it's the USDA that organics.
The
FDA is food drugs, but in the United States, it's the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
They do have a
certification program.
Yes, they do. And the certification just, you know, there's certain guidelines that foods have to follow in order to be considered organic. And it really just means that no sort of chemical fertilizers can be used, right? And no hormones or antibiotics given to animals. So there's just certain guidelines, and there's actually sort of levels of organic. There's a 100% organic product. Then you can say just organic, which means it only has to really be 95% organic. And then there's, of course, contains organic ingredients. So, you know, we're not going to go into too much on the food side.
That's really a food thing, but there have been some cosmetic companies who have tried to get organic certification through that program.
Right.
Even though, I mean, it's still a gray area because the USDA does not regulate cosmetics.
Right.
It's the FDA's job. And so there's a little infighting there, but there are some companies who have actually gotten the organic seal of approval from the USDA.
Right. But there's really not a, I would say, an agreed upon definition of what organic means in the beauty care.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, that's the main thing. There's no, in the beauty industry, there's no definition for organic, for natural, or for green. In fact, but there's a lot of groups that have tried to come out with them. So there's the USDA, which has got their organic thing.
Right.
And it's a really strict standard that for almost any product you can't get.
Right.
It has to be, it's pretty tough to get that. But then you have the NSF organic certification, which is a National Sanitation Foundation. They have their own. Then there's in the UK, they have the Soil Association that has their own. The EU and Germany has BDIH, which is a group that has standards. And there's EcoCert, CosmoBio, the Cosmos. There's probably 20 different organizations that come up with their own standards for what they consider organic and natural.
Hence the confusion in this area.
And in fact, if a company wanted to, they could come up with their own standards themselves and call it organic. And so when you're buying organic beauty products or natural beauty products, you have no way of knowing, is that really organic or natural, or what are the standards by which they're calling it that?
Right. So, you know, my takeaway is I would take that with a grain of salt at this point. And I don't really think it's worth paying more for a product just because it has some organic claim to it, because it really doesn't mean that much at this point, with no sort of agreed upon standard for what organic means in the beauty care industry.
I think the other thing to consider is also that there is no evidence that an organic or a natural product is safer for you. And I think that's the reason that people go towards these products.
Right.
They think they're getting something that's going to be safer, or it's going to expose them to less dangerous chemicals. And there's really no evidence that that's true.
Right. So at this point, I think it's more marketing, less science behind this whole organic trend in the beauty care industry.
Definitely. I mean, it's good for cosmetic chemists because it gives us new formulas to create, although it's like tying your hand behind your back because there's a lot fewer ingredients you could use to make the products.
Right.
So then the truth is the products are not going to work as well as your traditional cosmetic products.
Right. All right. I think we covered our questions.
Yeah.
Should we move
Thanks
on
for
to
that
some...
question. Yeah.
Yeah, should we move on to some news, beauty news stories?
Sure, let's talk about some of the stories.
All right. Well, since we were talking a little bit about organics, I thought it was interesting to note that the first organic perfume line is going to be launched in France.
Oh, really? An organic perfume line? Huh?
Right. And the perfumery is interesting that you can get organic certified ingredients to use in perfume. But again, they're more expensive. These are ingredients that are going to be grown, again, without pesticides and such.
So what do? Natural. They collect the odors from plants and stuff?
Well, they're naturally derived ingredients, which makes, you know, it's very limiting to the perfumer because a lot of ingredients used in perfumery are synthetics or are sort of derived from a laboratory, you know, I would say like pseudo-natural. It's a natural ingredient sort of modified in a laboratory.
So they take the, they identify the ingredient from the plant that has the odor, and then they synthesize that same molecule in the laboratory.
Exactly, exactly. So hence, you know, kind of more of a synthetically created smell, but derived from a natural ingredient. So when you're doing sort of organic perfumery, you really limit yourself because there are a lot of ingredients that we are used to in perfumes that are synthetics and cannot be derived really naturally. So the palette of ingredients for a perfumer is much, much smaller when trying to create an organic fragrance. So it is interesting to me that the that there is actually going to be a fine fragrance launched that is labeled organic, because that's a huge challenge and a limited palette of smells that you can be, that can be used.
Right. So, it makes sense though, if you think like 10% of the market is natural and organic and nobody has it in fragrance, you could capture a pretty big section of the market, maybe.
Right. But I thought it was interesting that the way it was certified is through EcoCert, which is one of the many companies we previously alluded to that has their own definition of organic. So again, this is not a sort of unilaterally agreed to definition of organic. It's this company or this organization's definition. So, you know, again, just sort of take that into consideration.
But the other interesting thing about that is, like, natural fragrance ingredients are some of the most allergy-causing ingredients there are, right?
Right, right. There's a lot of allergens. There also could be ingredients that are, I would say, you know, they're difficult to obtain. You know, you could be destroying some rare crop or something.
Right.
You know, it's not all good things trying to get these organic ingredients.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's such a good idea to use up farmland to make cosmetic ingredients.
Right.
Where
right.
people need food, you know?
Right. So this is but you know, again, sort of an interesting route we're seeing in fragrance. And I would actually be very curious to smell this fragrance. I haven't had the opportunity to do so, but it is launching in March 2011 in France. The cosmetic company is called Laurence Dumont, and there's a perfume line called Sévelin Nature. So, you know, look for it if you're in France.
We will look for it.
So kind of interesting.
Speaking of high-end fragrance brands,
yes.
Clinique is doing some interesting things.
Yes, Clinique is doing some interesting things. I don't know if you guys have heard about this thing called the iPad.
iPad?
Have you heard about this, Left Brain, the iPad from
yes.
Apple?
Who couldn't have heard of the iPad?
Of course. Well, Clinique is...
I'm not going to play Angry Birds, that's all.
You know, I played that game. I didn't really think it was that fun. But anyway.
Some people like it. that right brain, you can't get that Angry Birds out of right's hands.
We here at the Beauty Brains aren't so fancy. We don't have iPads yet in our office. But Clinique is actually partnering with iPad to create a way to sort of customize a skincare routine just for you. So I don't know if some people remember sort of old school Clinique where you could go to the counter and there was this like bar chart where you could see what kind of skin you had and what the right products were for you. So they've elevated their game a bit, and now iPad has a special app that's going to be at the Clinique counters where you can actually sort of customize a beauty and skincare routine for you with the help of iPad and your Clinique consultant.
Well,
so kind of a cool way to see technology sort of impacting the beauty care industry.
The technology making it easier to pick your skin products.
Right.
Now,
right.
I imagine that Clinique probably is only going to recommend Clinique products.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I don't think you're going to get recommendations for like Olay or whatever. So,
but it's fair enough. They made this software.
Right, right. And I don't think this is a app that you can get. You know, you can't just go buy it at home. I think it's sort of a Clinique, you know, at the Clinique counters.
I wonder, they don't have a sensor that you put up to your skin and you it'll read
what
your skin.
No, but that would be pretty cool.
That's probably the next generation.
Yeah. So, it's kind of a cool thing that we're seeing in the beauty industry.
Take a look for that.
And finally, you may have heard this story. It was in the news in February.
Think I was out of the country.
Yeah, you've been very busy, I know, being on your TV shows and all. But the rest of us have been paying attention to some beauty headlines. This story is a little bit scary, actually quite a bit scary, that drugs are being sold en masse as bath salts. So, you know, bath salts, you sprinkle them in your bath and they make it smell nice and
right.
bubble. So these are actually drugs but they're being called bath salts. So they're being sold on the internet, even in stores, and people are buying them.
So hallucinogenic drugs?
Right. So the drugs are essentially, they're not bath salts. They are drugs, but because they're sort of being marketed as bath salts, they've gotten sort of slipped past our drug enforcement agency and actually are being sold.
Yeah, I guess it is interesting. In the United States, cosmetics are not drugs, and so they're not specifically regulated. They don't require pre-market approval from the FDA.
Yeah, so this is somebody got clever and sort of found a loophole, I guess, in the system, and these are actually hallucinogenic drugs with effects similar to amphetamines that are being sold in packets that look like bath salts and even have names like bath salts, like Vanilla Sky and More Mist. So sort of these, experiential, like nice sounding names, and they have extremely harmful effects.
But these things are being sold at truck stops.
Yeah, truck stops, internet.
So I think one of the tips is don't buy your beauty products from truck stops.
Maybe, but I think the bigger takeaway is don't ingest bath salts, whether they're bath salts or drugs.
That's
either
the other thing. How are people getting the idea that you should ingest these things? It's like,
yeah, I'm not
bath
really
salts
sure.
Is not like,
but it's sort of like any other
seasoning for your your pork or whatever.
Right. But just like any other sort of, I don't know, underground sort of goings on, this is catching on. So
so you parents out there, if your kids are going to truck stops to buy bath salts,
you might want to be wary. So just sort of an interesting story and how drugs are sort of getting masked as a beauty product. So a little bit scary.
I think what I found most interesting was that they're actually legal to sell them that way because they're being marketed as bath salts. Although a lot of states have passed laws saying they can't do that.
Right. So. Yeah, this is quickly people have been alerted to this, and I think that will be much more regulated, but just sort of an interesting phenomenon that has popped up in the past couple of months. So.
Interesting. Hey, do we got a beauty product to review?
We do. As our listeners may know, we here at the Beauty Brains do get products to sample every so often.
So this company sent you...
This company called Yes2. You may be familiar with them. They have Yes2 carrots, Yes2
carrots,
tomatoes.
Sure. You can get them at Target,
Yeah, you can get them at Target. So they sent me some of their products. So I've been using this product called Yes2 tomatoes, daily balancing moisturizer. And I have no affiliation with this company, just in case anybody was wondering.
Never worked for Yes2, right?
No, never
they,
worked
they
for Yes2.
They don't give us anything except this. They did give us this free sample.
Right. So I've been using it. And I will preface this by saying that I'm a bit of a moisturizer snob. I'm not very particular about a lot of my beauty products, but there's certain sort of aesthetics to moisturizers that I find favorable to my skin type. So, what you may like may be different than what I like, but there's some general things I think that people would agree on. This moisturizer is an average moisturizer. It does the job, but I don't find it to be particularly pleasing in terms. It's a little greasy to me. It doesn't absorb very well, and it doesn't have SPF. And I always prefer to use a moisturizer with an SPF in it for me. So there's some,
And the reason is, the number one cause of aging, or wrinkles or any of the other signs of aging is UV exposure.
Right. So I always look for moisturizer with an SPF. And I still put an SPF on separately, but sometimes in the winter here in Chicago, it's not too sunny. So a moisturizer with SPF seems okay to me. So I would prefer that this product has an SPF in it. And I do think it's interesting. It says it's a 98% natural product.
98% natural.
So for the other 2%, not natural, but 98% of it. And again, that
definition. The number one ingredient, of course, in most cosmetics, the number one ingredient is water. And
right.
This formula probably contains about 90%
right,
water.
Exactly.
You're already pretty.
So there you go. Almost every product is about 90% natural because shampoos, conditioners, lotions are mostly water.
Right.
So, I'm not going to give this product a ringing endorsement, but I'm certainly not going to say it's a bad product either. You may like it. It just, some of the aesthetics, the texture and the way that it absorbs into my skin aren't super pleasing to me.
You see a lot of extracts and things in this formula. They have rosemary extract, aloe vera, etc. But the key ingredients here are the isopropyl palmitate. That's that's your moisturizer, your ester. And then cetyl alcohol, of course, is going to give it that opaque look and also give some sort of feel to it. beyond those two things, it's you know, it's then it's full of all these extracts that really don't do anything.
Right.
We got a little jojoba oil that'll and almond oil, some sort of natural oils. So they certainly are trying to go for the. They certainly formulated it with all the natural stuff in mind, but the key ingredient that's doing stuff is isopropyl palmitate and cetyl alcohol, neither of which would really be considered natural, although they're both probably derived from palm oil,
right?
But through a lot of chemical reactions.
Right. And it's, you know, I would just say it's a thin formula, using thin. There's just not a lot of, there's not a lot in it to make it, I would say, like a quality moisturizer. It doesn't have a great feel to it to me. So
I didn't use the product, so mm-hmm. I can't say anything about products specifically. But the one thing that kind of bugs me about the product is that they claim on the front paraben-free.
Mm-hmm.
And they are paraben-free. They use as their preservative. Looks like they're using benzyl alcohol as their preservative and then dihydroacetic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they have phenoxyethanol. Anyway, they have, you know, some replacements for parabens. But what bugs me about that is that there's the implication that there's something wrong with parabens. And there's plenty of evidence that show parabens are safe and that the research indicating parabens had a problem from a few years back has been pretty much thoroughly discredited through you know, looking at the science.
Right.
So whenever I see paraben-free claims, it kind of bugs me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like I said, I'm sort of ambivalent to this product either way, but, you know, we do want to thank the company for sending us the product, and you may love it. It is
sure.
Pretty
yes to carrots, you can get it, or yes to tomatoes.
Right, you can get it at Target. The products are reasonably priced. You know, they're just maybe a little more expensive than, you know, Dove and Olay and such, but not much more. Certainly very reasonable. So certainly something to give a try if it appeals to you.
Well, I guess that brings us to the end of our show, huh?
It does.
Well, I should, I would be remiss if we didn't mention the book again, Can You Get Hooked on Lip Balm? You can go to our website and click on the ad there, and it'll show you all the places you can get it. And hopefully it'll be in a store near you.
Excellent, soon. Yes. We're very excited here at the Beauty Brand, so please go check it out.
Yeah, and be sure to catch the Rachel Ray Show.
Right, March 9th.
March 9th.
And of course, you know, feel free to visit the blog, go to the forum, post questions, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, and keep up with all the goings-ons of the Beauty Brains.
Oh, yeah, so. I was on the Martha Stewart Living radio channel on Sirius yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, on the Whole Living show.
Excellent. I have never listened to it before, but I do like it.
Well, you don't get satellite radio.
That would make sense then. Why? That's not in my salary. We can't afford it.
You understand it. You just don't get it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Just be clear there.
All right.
All right. Anyway. Remember to follow us on Twitter. It's the Beauty Brains on Twitter. And also our Facebook page. We're actually updating our Facebook page now. So
excellent.
Yeah, feel free to like us on Facebook.
Yes, please like us on Facebook. All right. Well, that is it for our Beauty Brains podcast today. Thanks so much for tuning in. And this is Left Brain and Sarah Bellum reminding you that beauty doesn't have to be brainless.